New Deal. That does it for our show. Bill McKibben, co-founder of 350.org. His latest book is Falter, Has the Human Game Begun to Play Itself Out? Special thanks to our digital fellow, Julia Thomas, who is also in the streets of New York City. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food to our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard. Bridges Cafe and Catering is a restaurant and catering company located in Northeast Portland on the corner of MLK Jr. and Northeast Knott Street. Their kitchen is about 75% organic, open daily. Lunch was provided by Flying Pie Pizzeria, located in Montevilla at 7804 Southeast Stark Street, open daily from lunch to dinner, serving a variety of pizzas. Dinner was provided by Boke Bowl, with two locations at 1028 Southeast Water Avenue and 1200 Northwest 18th Street at Northrop. Boke Bowl serves ramen of handmade noodles, unique slow simmer dashis, and more. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
The time is 5 o'clock and you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Coming up next is the evening news. This KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Seattle Theater Group, presenting English indie rocker and former frontman for The Smiths, Morrissey, with special guests Interpol, live at Moda Center Theater of the Clouds on September 30th. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, a group of African-American girls were stopped and questioned by Clackamas Mall security and accused of loitering while the girls were in their car eating snacks and deciding what to do next on their Friday night.
Pressure is mounting on the local retailer Fred Meyer as union workers call for customers to boycott all locations amid reports of employee intimidation and unfair wages.
And President Trump openly suggested a deal made with Ukraine where there was an exchange of military aid in return for political dirt on Joe Biden might have actually happened.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Monday, September 23rd, 2019. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, our fall membership drive here on the autumn equinox. And we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Ken Jones.
And I'm Michelle Coppola. Oregon State Representative Janelle Bynum is encouraging people to loiter at Clackamas Town Center Mall after her daughter Christine was racially profiled and harassed by mall security for sitting in her car with friends on Friday afternoon. The group of teenagers sat in their parked car trying to decide what to do next, as one friend didn't have an ID to get into an R-rated movie. According to the Washington Post, the girls, who are black, were drinking chocolate milk, eating Kit Kat bars, and looking at homecoming dresses on Pinterest. According to a Facebook post made by Representative Bynum, quote, they were in the car when a mall cop parked and walked up to them and said they were sitting too long and loitering. They didn't even know what the word meant, but they knew they had been profiled. And for what? Sunday, Bynum urged others on Facebook to participate in a week-long loiter-in at the mall. Quote, go see how long it takes to be asked to leave the mall by mall security, she said. Sit in the food court, sit in your car on the phone, sit on benches. Let's figure out if there's a difference between loitering or being the wrong color. Christine told the Washington Post, quote, never in my life did I think I would be singled out by someone in my own community. I grew up at the mall. Many would even call it my second home. Yet with an experience like this, knowing that we've been called out because we look different, it feels unsettling. The incidence of racial profiling comes more than a year after Representative Bynum herself was profiled while campaigning door-to-door for re-election.
President Trump suggested today a link between his administration's review of military aid to Ukraine and his efforts to persuade the Ukrainian president to pursue damaging material on Democratic frontrunner Joe Biden. Yesterday, Trump confirmed a Wall Street Journal report that he discussed Biden with the Ukrainian president in a July phone conversation, which came to light as the result of a whistleblower in U.S. intelligence filing a formal complaint. Trump and his personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, have pressed for an inquiry into Biden's anti-corruption efforts in Ukraine when he was vice president and while his son, Hunter Biden, has business interests there. Congress agreed to send $250 million to Ukraine to help defend against Russian aggression, but the White House delayed the money for weeks. The delay may be a result of Trump threatening to withhold military aid to Ukraine unless his demands for damaging information on a political opponent were met. It's illegal for a political campaign to accept a thing of value from a foreign government, and Democrats say an investigation into a political opponent would amount to a thing of value. Democrats and several Republicans have called for the transcript between Trump and the Ukrainian president to be released, though the White House worries it will set a precedent, one that could result in Trump's other conversations being made public. The Ukrainian allegations have also intensified calls for impeaching Trump.
The union representing Fred Meyer employees is urging the public to boycott the retailer amidst heated recent negotiations over those workers' wages. Local 555 Secretary Treasurer Jeff Anderson told K2 News, quote, "If Fred Meyer won't listen to workers' voices, perhaps they will listen to the sound of departments devoid of shoppers. This is the first economic action by the union and is targeting the boycott at 57 stores in Oregon and Southwest Washington that starts on Sunday. The boycott is in direct response to accusations made by United Food and Commercial Workers Local 555 against Fred Meyer for staging one-on-one meetings with employees as an intimidation tactic. The union says this is a federal labor law violation. The grocery chain has also posted flyers seeking replacement workers in lieu of a pending strike. Fred Meyer spokespeople have denied those meetings and have stated the company does not tolerate acts of coercion. This action follows months of wage negotiations between the union and several local grocery chains, with a union-supported workers' strike looming, gender equality pay discrepancies, and a livable wage increase for contracted employees all at stake. Fred Meyer official Jeffrey Temple told Oregon Live that the company is eager to reach an agreement. Negotiations are continuing this Thursday and Friday with scheduled meetings between the union and the company.
Videos of Portland police fighting with protesters during Friday's student climate rally have gone viral this weekend, with social media users citing the use of unnecessary violence and racially motivated actions. Two African-American teenagers were videoed being roughly handled by police during the rally on Portland's Hawthorne Bridge, while the predominantly white crowd remained largely untouched. One video showing a 17-year-old black youth yanked from a large crowd was viewed over 500,000 times within 24 hours. One of the black teens was arrested. A second arrest was made of a white teenager who attempted to interfere during the clash. Police officials maintain the confrontation occurred when both youths presented a threat to the public and themselves by straying into oncoming traffic. Members of the public who witnessed the events also took to social media to criticize the police bureau for what they see as aggressive handling of children. Police Chief Danielle Outlaw has not responded to requests for comment at this time. The climate rally was part of a worldwide strike calling for policy change in the face of climate change. Thousands of youth attended the peaceful protest and a permit was issued. An earlier protest march across the Hawthorne Bridge received compliance from the police. On August 17th, a group of Proud Boys and other right-wing protesters also rallied with a permit secured and received safe passage from anti-fascists and traffic.
Oregon has joined dozens of states, most notably California, in a lawsuit against the Trump administration's emissions rollback. This announcement was made last Friday by Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum. So far, at least 23 states and the District of Columbia have collaborated on this fight to maintain the right to set emissions standards. California has had long-term legal authority to set those standards for tailpipe emissions. This standard was also later adopted by several states, including Oregon and Washington. However, the Trump Trump administration has made a point to remove California's authority and deregulate emission standards nationwide. Oregon Attorney General Rosenblum called the lawsuit a, quote, no-brainer, and according to OPB, she claims the Trump administration's rollbacks are rooted in the administration's efforts to protect the interests of big oil companies. This lawsuit isn't expected to wrap up quick, and it is suspected that it might eventually be decided by the Supreme Court.
Portland police cracked down on drag racing over the weekend and arrested three men. Officers made over 12 traffic stops in North and Northeast Portland on Saturday and Sunday nights. In their efforts to eliminate drag racing, police also towed two cars. The three men arrested were in their early 20s and are, according to the police, repeat offenders. 20-year-old Isaiah L. Brown was arrested on suspicion of reckless driving. Brown's being accused of four counts of reckless driving and endangering. Additionally, he's accused of driving with a suspended license. Currently, Brown's being held in the Multnomah County Detention Center. 21-year-old Josiah J. Pittman was arrested and accused of four counts of reckless driving and endangering. He's also currently in the Multnomah County Detention Center. And Noah Y. Terry, who's also 21, is accused of single counts of reckless driving and reckless endangering. According to Oregon Live, Terry has been released on his own recognizance, meaning Terry will appear in court when summoned.
KABU volunteers work hard to bring you this newscast every single evening. It is locally produced and locally announced and locally written. So now we are asking you to step up and support that effort. Joining us now are Conch and Emma to talk about how you can support KABU Community Radio.
Howdy. Yes, this is Conch, and I am delighted to be sitting in here on this news day, on this Monday, and we are right in the heart of the membership drive right now, the fun drive, and we want you to get in touch with us by going online at kboo.fm or 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. We have this all-volunteer group that's out there bringing you news and going out into the streets with their field recorders. They are bringing it back for you. They are doing the engineering. They are doing the editing. They are putting everything together in the studio. And this is what your pennies, nickels, and dimes help bring to the airwaves is the most local news that you'll find in Portland. This is long-form stories. These are grassroots stories, and this is the sort of thing that your money really helps bring to the forefront. And the number to call, it's toll-free. It's 877-500-5266. It's 877-500-5266. KBOO. I was just noticing that Ken is in the studio today, and Ken is one of our great volunteers. He's a good reason why KBOO is such an eclectic choice. He's going to be doing some interviewing later in the evening. He's done music shows. He's done all kinds of amazing, entertaining curating of the airwaves for people out there in Portland and beyond. If you are outside the Portland area, we love your membership. We have members from all over the world. They call in. They want a KABU hoodie, and you can get one of those for $25 a month. And they go online at kboo.fm. You will see a welcome screen that says "Mic to the People." That is our theme for this membership drive, this fall membership drive. But if you want to call one of our happy volunteers back here, they are delighted to talk with you. And that number again, 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO. Yeah, it has been an early fall, and we have been taking advantage of that by getting out of the rain in our hoodies. This, as I said, it's a $25 a month pledge of support. This is a warm and cozy, very soft cotton hoodie that says KABU on the front. It's full color, has our design on it, which is a tower with a star. It's very eclectic. It's very electric. For a $6.25 a month pledge of support, which might be simpler for some of you folks. There's the KABU Radio T-shirt, which is a fantastic T-shirt that's available for your pledge of support when you go online at kboo.fm or give us a call, 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO. KBOO. Support this grassroots effort to bring you news on the ground, fresh every day, from our team of reporters and engineers and anchors. 877-500-KBOO.
Kaiser Permanente executives met with union reps today in an effort to avoid a nationwide strike next month. More than 80,000 workers across six states and Washington, D.C. plan to start a seven-day strike starting October 14th if they don't get an acceptable contract. The strike would affect people in jobs ranging from optometrists and x-ray technologists to vocational nurses and housekeepers, and would include more than 6,600 Kaiser workers in Oregon and Washington. Ray Dunneville, a rep at Service Employees International Union Local 49 in Portland, told OPB, "We're trying to restore a true worker management partnership. We want to ensure safe staffing and compassionate use of technology, and we want to make sure we're protecting patients as well as middle-class jobs with wages and benefits that can really support families." Kaiser executives termed the strike threat aggressive and negative. CEO Bernard Tyson said he hopes to avoid a strike, but is, quote, preparing to deal with all scenarios to make sure our members are cared for. Currently, only today and Tuesday are scheduled bargaining days between management and workers.
"I've fallen and I can't get up. It might soon be the theme of baby boomers, as chronic conditions cause more traumatic falls among those over 55. It's been called a $50 billion problem, but the National Council on Aging says the majority of falls among older adults are preventable." Roz Brown has more.
More than 3 million older adults are treated in emergency rooms for falls each year, with one in five of them suffering serious injuries such as broken bones or head trauma. To raise awareness, today is the 12th Annual Falls Prevention Awareness Day. Kathleen Cameron with the National Council on Aging says falls are the number one cause of injuries and deaths among older Americans. According to Cameron, that's increasingly attributed to chronic conditions experienced by many baby boomers.
Like diabetes, arthritis, chronic pain, and they all can lead to an increased chance of having a fall.
Cameron notes that one in four Americans age 65 and older falls every year, resulting in expensive health care costs and sometimes a reduced quality of life. She notes that Minnesota ranks number two after Wisconsin for the number of falls reported among older adults, with South Dakota and Iowa also among the top 10 states. Cameron contends that falling is not a normal part of aging, and it's important that older adults, their health care professionals, and elder caregivers know how to protect against them. She says changes in balance and mobility, sometimes due to loss of muscle mass, medications, and changes in vision and hearing, are common culprits. But exercise programs can be beneficial.
Tai Chi is a perfect example of that type of program. It's been around for thousands of years, and there's been research looking at its effectiveness in reducing falls. And if it's practiced over a period of 24 weeks, it can reduce falls by as much as 55%.
Cameron encourages aging adults to seek out Tai Chi or other exercise programs typically available at a local senior center or YMCA. Falls result in nearly 3 million injuries treated in emergency rooms annually and more than 27,000 deaths. For Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown.
Yesterday, TriMet began a two-week construction project on its oldest MAX line. This morning marks the first day commuters will be feeling the effects of the 2.3-mile closure along the outer southeast stretch of TriMet's Blue Line. The MAX Blue Line will end and begin service at Rockwood East 188th Avenue Station in Gresham over the next several days as improvement projects are completed. Shuttle buses will be serving the final five stations at the end of the line. The improvements include upgrades, repairs, and replacements at rail crossings and at junctures where track lines cross busy roadways. Completion and restoral of service are set for October 5th. Until then, commuters will be feeling the pinch. TriMet officials say to allow 15 to 20 minutes of extra time for the rail closure and shuttle reroutes.
Well, it is September, and that means back-to-school time for students and teachers, which can be stressful for students, but also for their teachers. Health experts want educators and school staff to consider self-care practices to reduce stress from their demanding work. Eric Tegetoff has the story.
Students are back in school, and while much of the education focus is on kids, staff members also are returning to work, and they're feeling the stress of the job. According to a Gallup poll, 46% of teachers feel high daily stress, which ties them with nurses for the most in any occupation. Jill Patnode, Kaiser Permanente's Thriving Schools program manager, says the stress comes from demanding work and schools' limited resources. She notes there are added burdens for educators working with students who have experienced trauma.
Even when they haven't had to endure that trauma themselves, they are such caring and compassionate people that they actually can start feeling some of the same symptoms. And this is called vicarious trauma or secondary trauma.
Patnode says this, combined with the challenging work and limited resources, can lead to burnout and high turnover for staff and make educators less productive in the classroom. Health experts say self-care plans are useful for combating stress. Patnode's Thriving Schools program provides Way to Well-Being workshops and identifies ways to reduce staff members' anxieties. She notes self-care in school can be as simple as a staff room makeover, creating a cheerier atmosphere, providing mindfulness activities, or simply making the space more inviting for people to sit and chat. Patnode says self-care rarely is part of the conversation when they speak with school staff.
What we hear most is just this appreciation from our staff of giving them time to think about creating their own self-care plan. Because often you know what you need to do, but you rarely set a goal to do that.
Patnode says parents can help by expressing gratitude to staff and preparing their kids for school, including making sure they get enough sleep. The sleep suggestion goes for educators as well. And lastly, Patnode says communities can help by reducing the stigma around self-care. For Public News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
You're listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn. Joining us now is Conch to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thanks, Ken. Yeah, we have all kinds of options here, and we have people in back of me who are happy to tell you about all the options, whether it's using a credit card, whether it's a monthly deduction from checking, or whether it's coming in with a cash donation, in which case, hey, we will show you all of our available thank you gifts and maybe give you a tour of the station, grab a cup of coffee or something like that. But really, the first way and the best way to do it is by calling toll-free 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. And for those of you who are new in town, we really hope that you're enjoying the eclectic programming here on KBOO, the curatorial prowess that all of our programmers have. It's amazing stuff. And it really is one of the reasons why the culture in Portland has been so hot these past few decades, is because KBOO has been there to bring in authors, to bring in musicians, to bring in really important people, speakers, and give them a mic. Mic to the people is what we're talking about this membership drive. So we really want you to help out a little bit. You're not getting commercials. You're getting a few short interruptions a couple of times a year. And that is just what helps us keep the lights on and keep the equipment current. And the way that you can support that is by going online at kboo.fm or by calling 877-500-5266. 877-500-KBOO. And we appreciate all you people who have called in and have become members. And, you know, the holidays are coming up. Maybe you would like to give a gift membership to somebody in your circle, somebody who is in your family or your circle of friends. Would really appreciate a KBOO beanie, which is $5 a month only. It'll keep folks warm during the oncoming cold and rainy months. So you can call in with that at 877-500-KBOO. You know, got the holidays coming up, got all kinds of opportunities for gift giving. I know that my folks have their birthdays coming up in November, so I'm looking at that too, looking at maybe a gift membership. I'm looking at possibly increasing my monthly donation by $1 or $2. That would make a huge difference. Anybody who is already a member and increases their membership period, membership amount on a monthly basis gives that works out to hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars that can keep KBOO really strong. So give us a call, 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO. Keep this news gathering operation strong. All of these volunteers who are going out with field recorders, gathering the news, bringing it back, editing it, being anchors on the air, give them a shout out by going online, KBOO, 877-500-5266.
With enough backing and funding, Oregon voters could see a law that decriminalizes possession of any illegal drug on the ballot in 2020. The New York advocacy group Drug Policy Alliance has been working with Oregon political consultants on this new initiative. The idea is to channel nonviolent Oregon addicts into treatment facilities rather than prison. Drug Policy Alliance, which has the financial backing of billionaire investor George Soros, is proposing setting up a fund that would directly go to Oregon treatment centers. According to experts and the agency's website, Oregon ranks nearly at the bottom out of 50 states for drug treatment access. One out of 11 Oregonians is addicted to drugs, which is a dire statistic, especially when you know that Oregon is lacking facilities for those suffering who aren't currently incarcerated. On the agency's website, a fact sheet claims that, quote, research clearly shows that people suffering from addiction are more effectively treated with health services than with criminal punishments. Making criminals of people suffering from addiction is cruel and ineffective. Criminalizing drugs disproportionately harms poor people and people of color. It saddles people with criminal records that prevent them from getting housing, pursuing their education, obtaining loans, getting professional licenses, getting jobs, and keeping jobs. That is from the agency's website.
In the latest Iowa poll, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren has pulled ahead of former Vice President Joe Biden in the race for the Democratic nomination for president. Lily Bulkey has more on the story with 2020 Talks.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
18 trans women of color who have been killed so far this year. It is time for a president of the United States of America to say their names.
That was Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren at the first ever presidential candidate forum focused exclusively on LGBTQ issues Friday night. She proceeded to call out those names. The national headline was the first poll that puts Warren ahead of former Vice President Joe Biden by 2 points. The Des Moines Register and CNN released an anxiously awaited Iowa Seltzer poll, the first one since June by Ann Seltzer, who 538 calls the best pollster in politics. A lot happened on the ground for thousands of Iowans as well as the candidates, starting with the LGBTQ forum in Cedar Rapids. The next day was the traditional Polk County steak fry, where more than 11,000 Iowans came to toss a kernel into a jar for their favorite candidate and to see 17 Democratic presidential hopefuls flip burgers. Here's South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Thank you, Iowa! And hello, Polk County Democrats!
Speaking of the Seltzer poll, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio dropped his bid for the Democratic nomination. As it happened, not a single respondent had put de Blasio as either their first or second choice. Even without de Blasio at the steak fry, there were still plenty of candidates. While Polk County Democrats were eating and cheering in the pouring rain on Saturday afternoon, progressives gathered at the Iowa People's Presidential Forum. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders spoke there.
We need a mass movement.
Hundreds of people, including activists and politicians, took the stage to ask candidates tough questions about issues from the cost of higher education to the separation of families at the border. Here's Susanna Dien from Karen Action, an organization that supports domestic workers.
Too often we see presidential candidates sort of sticking to the same stump speech, and this was an opportunity to get more candid responses and to actually hear how they think through the complicated problems that we see and are facing in our communities.
Finally, the Youth Voices Education Forum, hosted at Roosevelt High School in Des Moines, concluded the weekend on Sunday morning. Here's entrepreneur Andrew Yang.
The only counterargument to having 16-year-olds vote is that you somehow don't know that much about politics, to which I'd suggest there are a lot of Americans who don't know that much about politics.
Looking ahead, Hawaii Representative Tulsi Gabbard is just one poll away from qualifying for the fourth Democratic debate. From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bulkey.
The man accused of an attempted kidnapping at Vancouver Mall made his first court appearance this morning. The attempted kidnapping was thwarted by bystanders on Saturday. Convicted kidnapper Stephen Hayes, aged 49, allegedly grabbed a 14-year-old girl outside a dressing room and tried to drag her away. Hayes threatened the girl with violence if she were to struggle. The victim fought back and got away. Hayes tried to flee but was caught by bystanders and held until police arrived. Hayes remains in jail on a $500,000 bail, but it's not his first time there on these type of charges. He has a prior conviction for kidnapping and now faces charges of kidnapping, assault, and felony harassment. The father of the victim, Jason England, is frustrated that Hayes was allowed to go free given his priors. He told Coin News, quote, "I hear the amount of priors this guy has had, and he's still out there. It's very frustrating to me, and I would definitely think the state needs to get more serious about crimes like this."
Have you been waiting for your big break? Well, a new Netflix film, Sorta Like a Rockstar, is looking for extras in Portland. Sorta Like a Rockstar is based on a book by Matthew Quick. It's about an optimistic teenage girl in difficult circumstances who has a knack for creating bonds with the outsiders in her community until she faces a devastating loss and can no longer ignore the challenges in her own life. The talent agency Weeble Mountain is seeking applicants who live in the Portland area. Interested parties can find out more at WeebleMountain.com.
Here it is, your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put into bringing you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now is Conch to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thanks, Michelle. Yes, rain or shine, and we certainly have had that during our fall membership drive. And we hope that you will shine when giving us a call at 877-500-5266. It's 877-500-KBOO. And, you know, those of you who have joined us for Democracy Now!, you know that Amy Goodman is a big friend of KBOO. She's a huge champion of KBOO. She has come out and done fundraisers for us time and again. She pitches for us usually every year. And those of you who are big fans of Democracy Now! Should have your very own $10 a month Democracy Now! T-shirt. That's available at a $10 a month pledge of support at 877-500-5266. It's black and white and red all over. It'll show your pride for independent news, just the most amazing international news. We are pairing every day, every weekday, we are pairing the great international coverage that Democracy Now! Brings you with the local coverage that the KBOO News team brings you. And this is a winning combination. It's something that we need money support, and we don't have commercial folks giving us big piles of money to bring it to you. So we don't give commercial breaks, and we're not beholden to any money to interest except you, the listener, you, the member. When you call in, 877-500-5266. It's 877-500-KBOO. We also, like, if you are in a place where you can't talk on the phone, understand that. You've got your electronic device, and you can go online at kboo.fm. You'll have a welcome screen at kboo.fm. It says it's the mic to the people. It's our theme for this membership drive. And you just sort of click through that, and you can see amounts that you can pledge. You can see ways that you can pledge. You can see even thank you gifts that are available. And that's all on the website or on the mobile app. When you download the mobile app, just look for KBOO wherever you get your apps. But, you know, sometimes and folks do stop in at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. If you are home from work, if you're going to work, if you, like me, work the swing shift, stop in at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, have a cup of coffee, get a tour, and look around and look at the thank you gifts that are available. But most people like to call in, talk to one of our incredibly helpful and well-trained volunteers who are here to take your call. And the way to talk to one of them and find out all the great ways to become a member of KBOO yourself or maybe a gift membership is by calling 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. Keep supporting the news coverage here by calling 877-500-5266. And now more news.
Black lung, an illness that often impacts minors, is on the rise. Victims of black lung have described the incurable lung disease as feeling like you're drowning on dry land. A rise in the number of black lung patients in Appalachia may be due to mining thinner coal. Dan Hyman has more on the story.
The return of black lung to Appalachia may be due to the coal industry here mining thinner seams of high-priced met coal used to make steel. Morgantown occupational physician Dr. Carl Wernz says black lung is more due to the silica dust from sandstone the mine machines cut along with the coal. He says the miners he sees are increasingly working in thinner coal seams with more sandstone.
A lot of them will describe working in lower coal, and now instead of the dust being 1% silica, you're getting maybe 50% silica.
The mine safety community has been concerned with a worrying rise in black lung among younger miners in Appalachia. Wernz says the thinner coal seams theory is not the only explanation put forward, but it is gaining acceptance. After more than a century, mining in the region has exhausted the thicker, easier-to-get coal seams. Due to that and the collapse of demand for thermal steam coal used to generate electricity, the industry has increasingly shifted to mining thinner seams of higher-value met coal, often the only viable option. Wernz says the map of more black lung cases exactly matches the area where these factors are in effect.
If you take West Virginia, Virginia, and Eastern Kentucky out of the equation, the amount of black lung we're seeing hasn't changed. It's actually continuing to go down in the rest of the country.
There are other theories about the increase in the number of black lung cases, but Wernz points out those also apply to places where the number of cases is not rising. He stresses that the best and only effective way to stop a horrible and debilitating disease is to prevent it from happening.
We were taught that this is a disease that you'll see a little bit of in people who have been mining for 30 or 40 or 50 years. And what's really tragic right now is that we're seeing this in young coal miners. And it's a preventable disease.
Dan Hyman reporting for the Public News Service.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Coming up later this evening, with so many local issues in the labor arena in the news, you definitely want to stay tuned for Labor Radio at 6 p.m. At 7, it is KBOO favorite Hard Knock Radio. The weather tonight will be cloudy and 58 degrees with a 20% chance of rain tomorrow. Partly cloudy, low of 53 and a high of 74. Today in history, it happens to be Bisexual Visibility Day. The global tradition of recognizing bisexuality goes back to the good old 90s. Old some. Bisexual Visibility Day started in 1999. Bisexuality is often criticized as a phase or indecision between being straight or gay. This celebration encourages conversation, education, and visibility for all bisexual people in the world. The quote of the day is from June Jordan, a Jamaican-American poet and activist who identified as bisexual, who said, quote, "Bisexuality means I am free and I am as likely to want to love a woman as I am likely to want to love a man. And what about that? Isn't that what freedom implies?"
It's National Clean Energy Week, and policymakers and businesses alike are coming together to discuss clean energy and possible solutions. Dr. Anthony Lizowitz has more on the story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. These days, bipartisan collaboration sometimes seems impossible. But during National Clean Energy Week, Republicans and Democrats come together for meetings in Washington, D.C. and workshops across the country.
National Clean Energy Week was started really as a place for both sides of the aisle to really get out of the politics and talk more about what are the solutions.
Event Chair Heather Reams is Executive Director of Citizens for Responsible Energy Solutions. She says attendees range from policymakers and industry groups to consumers, and their interests are diverse. Some are seeking business opportunities. Others are passionate about solving climate change. Some work in solar, others in wind.
it really allows a lot of people to get out of their silos and come together to solve problems together.
Rehm says last year it was rewarding to see people collaborate, regardless of their politics.
You couldn't tell really who was a Republican and who was a Democrat on stage and in most of the presentations. Instead of that red or blue issue, it really was a red, white, and blue issue for America. The fact that we came together to discuss challenges and determine solutions that we can continue a dialogue beyond National Clean Energy Week is really exciting.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
And the climate news continues. Police arrested 26 protesters this morning during a climate change rally in Washington, D.C., and shut down 22 intersections between Capitol Hill and downtown Washington because of those protests. That resulted in long delays for Monday morning commuters. Operating under the umbrella of hashtag ShutdownDC, several groups hit key points of the Beltway commute. As of 9:30 this morning, police had arrested 26 protesters with no injuries reported. A spokesperson for hashtag ShutdownDC told NBC News, quote, "We feel the demonstrations are going well. The police have been civil, and we hope the inconvenience drives home the climate emergency message." Also known as Extinction Rebellion protesters, the group hopes these protests will end the abuse of fossil fuels and spark public response to demand climate policy change immediately as the planet warms. Similar rallies have been staged worldwide. The group has not ruled out a potential evening rally aimed at later rush hour commuters.
How do we keep beaches clean? Well, it's not just about cleaning up litter at the beach. Preventing litter starts on the streets. With more on this story, it's Current Cast.
The streets connected to the storm drain. On this Current Cast. Volunteers remove more than 18 tons of trash from Great Lakes beaches each year, but
it's not just stuff that's left on the beach that is the problem.
Anna McCartney was with Pennsylvania Sea Grant for more than 10 years. She says that during a two-year program, Erie Public School students learned that some marine debris starts out in their communities.
We made watershed maps so that they could trace the stormwater from their street to the nearest storm drain, to the nearest stream, then to the lake.
Then many students joined neighborhood trash cleanups. So they learned firsthand that preventing litter in the lake means keeping trash off streets and sidewalks, too. Current Cast, produced with Cornell's Atkinson Center for a Sustainable Future and made possible by the Foundation for Pennsylvania Watershed, online at currentcast.org.
In a new interview with NPR, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said it's time for Congress to change the law so that sitting presidents can be indicted. In her NPR interview, Pelosi said, quote, "I do think that we will have to pass some laws that will have clarity for future presidents. A president should be indicted if he's committed a wrongdoing. Any president. As the law stands, the Constitution says the consequence for a president who breaks the law is impeachment." Speaker Pelosi has not changed her position on impeaching President Trump, although she is clearly attempting to make concrete laws preventing any future presidents from abusing U.S. laws. Pelosi fears beginning the impeachment process could push swing voters and moderate Democrats away from the party in the upcoming 2020 presidential election.
U.S. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos kicked off her 2019 back-to-school tour at a private school in Milwaukee. She was met there by parent protesters urging Secretary DeVos to care about public education. DeVos has notably not announced any plans to visit public schools on this trip. Trimmel Gomes has more on the story.
During Education Secretary Betsy DeVos's recent visit to a Milwaukee voucher school, public school supporters showed up to protest her plans to expand similar programs nationally. DeVos kicked off her back-to-school tour hoping to drum up support for so-called Education Freedom Scholarships, which would provide $5 billion in federal tax credits for donors who contribute to state-designated scholarship funds. However, Heather Dubois-Bournon with the Wisconsin Public Education Network says many parents want to see more fairness in her plans.
They just want her to care about the 860,000 kids who are in Wisconsin public schools.
DeVos visited St. Marcus Lutheran School, one of Milwaukee's largest and most successful private voucher schools. She said the United States ranks 24th in reading, 25th in science, and 40th in math in the world, as she called for changes. Friday, DeVos stopped at a charter school in Detroit, and so far hasn't announced any plans to visit any traditional public schools. Dubois Bournon says DeVos has no real interest in providing families with real school choice, especially after the Trump administration plans to decrease the Education Department's funding by $7.1 billion, with little evidence of their proposals showing success.
The test scores show we're making no progress in closing the gaps between rich and poor kids, black and white kids, or students in Milwaukee and elsewhere.
Wisconsin's voucher programs now serves about 40,000 students across the state. It was initially created to give poor black children the opportunity to escape poorly performing schools. But critics say the programs are now being used to privatize education while promoting a religious ideology. The Trump administration's budget proposal suggests eliminating 29 public programs, including after-school and summer programs, for students in high-poverty areas, along with others. For Public News Service, I'm Tramell Gomes.
Here at KBOO, we do not fill up your newscast with ads, but that also means we don't get ad revenue to keep the lights on. So we need your support to make that happen and help keep this local newscast coming to your airwaves and your web stream. Joining us now is Conch to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
That is so right, Michelle. It is so refreshing to turn on the radio and not get somebody pushing the latest pharmaceutical, the latest luxury car, luxury vehicle. Here we have a bike show. We have a labor show, and it's coming up soon. We have shows that are relevant to the folks in Portland who are, you know, just working stiffs like myself, slinging drinks to the folks out there. But you can be a hero by contributing just $5 a month and going online at kboo.fm to do that. And you can also call one of our folks who are behind me, and you can do that toll-free. 877-500-5266 is the number. That works out to 877-500-KBOO. Yes, I mentioned that we're going to have a labor show coming up, and there's so much labor news going on. And how much of it have you actually heard out there, if you turn on the TV, if you read the newspaper? Not a whole lot, but we're going to have a whole half hour of labor radio, and they're going to tell you the ins and outs of what's going on here in Portland with Kaiser, with Fred Meyer, with all of these folks who are up against, you know, the folks who are just salaried folks trying to pay the rent, pay the mortgage. This is something that KBOO brings you every week, is labor radio, and you're going to want to support that by calling 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO. Yeah, do you know somebody who really appreciates this sort of content, who is a real junkie for local news, for labor issues? If you do, then how about a gift membership? The holidays are coming up. You can not only present them with a membership to KBOO with all the benefits that go with that, but you can also get a beanie, a KBOO beanie, to keep keep your friends' head warm during the rainy months ahead. $5 a month will get you a KBOO black beanie with the KBOO logo on it. 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO. We have got so much left to come up. We got the news from Egypt. We have the national native news. Got overseas news about Thomas Cook collapsing, the travel agency that is a victim of Brexit. So just stay tuned. Stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for Labor Radio. But while you're staying tuned, give us a call. Become a member. Support KBOO, 877-500-5266.
Nearly 500 people have been detained in Egypt in the past few days following protests against alleged government corruption. Demonstrations were held in Cairo, Alexandria, and in other cities. Since President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi came into power as a result of a military coup in 2013, there's been a wide-ranging crackdown on dissent, and protests are very rare. Public gatherings of more than 10 people, without government approval, have been banned since 2013 as well. Friday night, hundreds of young people took to the streets of Cairo shouting, "Leave Sisi, and the people want the fall of the regime," before being dispersed by tear gas. Today, local human rights groups said they've been receiving telephone calls from people looking for relatives who had gone missing after the protest. Those detained are accused of participating in an outlawed group, spreading false news via social media, and protesting without permission. The protests were prompted by a call from an Egyptian businessman named Mohammed Ali, who lives in self-imposed exile in Spain. Ali has been posting videos on social media since September 2nd, accusing President Sisi of corruption. Additionally, 60,000 people are reported to have been detained in the past 6 years, most of them members of the outlawed Muslim Brotherhood, the party of Sisi's predecessor, Mohamed Morsi. According to the BBC, hundreds have been handed preliminary death sentences by the courts, and activists say hundreds more have gone missing in apparent forced disappearances.
The trial of Indian Health Service doctor Stanley Weber began today in South Dakota. Weber is accused of child sexual abuse from the 1990s until 2011. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Indigenous news, issues, and culture.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The jury trial begins Monday for former Indian Health Service doctor Stanley Patrick Weber in federal court in Rapid City, South Dakota. Weber is accused of child sexual abuse on the Pine Ridge Reservation in the 1990s to 2011. In September 2018, Weber was convicted of sexually abusing children on the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana. Weber is reportedly appealing his 18-year prison sentence in that case. The trial on his alleged crimes in South Dakota is expected to continue through October 1st. Veterans, tribal leaders, U.S. lawmakers, and the public took part in a groundbreaking ceremony Saturday in Washington, D.C. for the National Native American Veterans Memorial. Congress commissioned the National Museum of the American Indian to build the Veterans Memorial. The museum worked with an advisory committee and sought input from tribal communities. An international competition was held to select design concepts. Cheyenne Arapaho artist Harvey Pratt's Warriors Circle of Honor was picked. Pratt, who's also a veteran, spoke at the groundbreaking.
The timelessness of this memorial is going to fit everybody. It fits our ancestors. It fits us now, and it'll fit us in the future. And that was my dream, that when you come here, that you come and you make your sacrifice here, and you pray for one another, that that power stays here. So when future veterans come, that power, they'll feel that power and that strength, and they'll be comforted. They'll be comforted, and they'll be strengthened, and they'll walk away a better person.
The design, an elevated stainless steel circle, is balanced on a carved stone drum. The memorial is slated to open in November 2020 on Veterans Day. Wild rice has long played a role in the food source and spiritual life of tribes in the Great Lakes region. But as Ben Meyer with WXPR reports, rice beds in northern Wisconsin may be in danger.
Tribal rice chief Pete Magishik III has taken to Rice Lake on the Sacagan Chippewa Reservation in northern Wisconsin since he was 7 years old.
I've been ricing for 48 years.
After pushing his canoe through wild rice beds with a 16-foot pole, he demonstrates how to pick. With a shorter wooden pole, the picker bends the rice plant over the canoe, using a second pole to knock the rice into the canoe.
And gently tap it like that.
That's the thrashing sound you hear as Magishik explains why he loves being here, feeling the spirit of wild rice on the lake.
I don't know, it just talks to me. It's something you feel in your heart. You can't describe it. All you can do is feel it.
Wild rice's spiritual connection comes from tradition. At the canoe landing, tribal environmental director Tina Van Zyl retells the story of how Ojibwe tribes came here hundreds of years ago, guided by a prophecy.
The prophecy told us that we were supposed to go west and find the food that grows on water, and that's where we were meant to be and meant to settle.
But since then, culverts and dams have obstructed the free flow of water, hurting rice beds, says Peter David of the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission.
We know a lot of the beds that once existed here 200 or 300 years ago have been lost. And I think there's a great deal of concern that rice is trending downward in many areas.
Rice Chief Pete Magishik is also concerned. There used to be 7 lakes near the reservation that had wild rice. Now it's down to Rice Lake itself.
It's the only one that has wild rice right now.
To Tina Van Zyl, the environmental director, a loss of wild rice could mean not only the loss of food, but a loss of culture.
Ojibwe people, I think, are kind of scared that what's going to happen when, if that were to happen.
For National Native News, I'm Ben Meyer in Forest County, Wisconsin.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Sunday night, the British travel agency Thomas Cook went out of business. Thomas Cook, which first opened its doors in 1841, has disrupted the travel plans of at least 600,000 British tourists. Many are now scrambling to figure out how to get back home. In the meantime, the British government's planning to bring home 150,000 travelers. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said, "We will try our level best to get them home. There will be plans ready to deal with that if it's necessary." It's been revealed the company needed at least $250 million to stay afloat. This was on top of the more than $1 billion of debt the company has accumulated. In addition to the company's financial crisis, there are suspected reasons for the tourist agency's downturn. The New York Times reports that Thomas Cook has suffered during the Brexit debacle that has cut the value of the pound in half. The Times says that Britain leaving the European Union discouraged travel and squeezed profits for travel agencies such as Thomas Cook.
Speaking of travel, Oktoberfest kicked off in Munich just days ago, and conveniently, a German court now says hangovers can be classified as an illness. This decision comes in a case against a company accused of making illegal health claims about its anti-hangover shots and drink powders. In the decision, the court said that even a small or temporary change to a body's normal state could be considered an illness. As such, food products, including drinks, cannot be marketed as being able to prevent or treat illnesses. According to the Superior Court's ruling, quote, "Information about a food product cannot ascribe any properties for preventing, treating, or healing a human illness, or give the impression of such a property."
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. You can call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Jeffrey Wade and Claire Rosciato. The producer is Claire Rosciato. Our engineers are Danielle Parks and Jeff Henderson, and our evening news director is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/evening news. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Ken Jones.
And I'm Michelle Coppola. Coming up next is Labor Radio, but first we go once again to Conch to talk about supporting people-powered community radio, the only 100% volunteer-hosted station in Oregon. That would be KBOO. Conch?
That is correct, Michelle. Thanks, Michelle and Ken. And we are making sure that we get a lot of love for the folks that have put together your show, put together the news, including Michelle and Ken today, and the folks in the air room who are doing the engineering. Fantastic people. Give them some love by calling 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. And we do have Labor Radio coming up. This is, again, pretty much the only labor show you're going to hear on radio in the Portland area, because KBOO believes in bringing the mic to the people. That is the theme for the fall membership drive here. And there's so much labor news to be told that we want to make sure that you get a half hour worth of labor news every week here on KBOO. This is something that is not seen in the newspapers for the most part. It's not seen on the television, is not heard on the commercial radio stations or on even most of the non-commercial stations. So here it is, KBOO, and KBOO wants you to support that. When we support you with this great programming, we'd like you to support us by calling 877-500-5266. That's 877-500
KBOO. And we can support you also by getting a hoodie to you. This is a hoodie that will support your body temperature as the days get colder in the coming months. And this is a really warm, really soft hoodie. It comes in so many sizes, from extra small to quadruple extra large. I'm looking at it right now. That's 4 extra large. And it has KBOO's logo on it. Beautiful logo right over the breast pocket. And it's black otherwise. This is a fantastic thing to be wearing around or to even give as a gift. $25 a month pledge of support will get you that hoodie. Get you that for yourself or for a friend if you want to do a gift membership. 877-500-5266. 877-500-KBOO. And you can also go online, kboo.fm. You will find those same thank you gifts there. $5 a month will get you a KBOO beanie to keep your head warm. $6.25 per month, $6.25 a month will get you a KBOO radio t-shirt, black with all the good stuff on it. Call and talk to one of our folks here, 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO. We are just about to go out to the folks at Labor Radio, who are going to tell you all about what's going on at Kaiser, all about what's going on at Fred Meyer, all about what's going on, all over the region, the Northwest region, and maybe nationally with folks like Amtrak, who are getting rid of union jobs by getting rid of dining car service on Amtrak. I'm sad about this. I love taking Amtrak, and I love seeing all these unionized people on there. Let's make sure that the Labor Radio people get a shout-out, so give us a call. Go online at kboo.fm or give us a call, 877-500-5266 or 877-500-KBOO.
You're listening to 90.7 FM, KBOO, Portland, Oregon. Stay tuned for Labor Radio. KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food to our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard. Bridges Cafe and Catering is a restaurant and catering company located in Northeast Portland on the corner of MLK Jr. and Northeast Knott Street. Their kitchen is about 75% organic, open daily. Lunch was provided by Flying Pie Pizzeria, located in Montevilla at 7804 Southeast Stark Street, open daily from lunch to dinner, serving a variety of pizzas. Dinner was provided by Boke Bowl, with two locations at 1028 Southeast Water Avenue and 1200 Northwest 18th Street at Northrop. Boke Bowl serves ramen.